In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Do you know that the minds of men and women are very fickle? We go from A to Z. Now we're going to see that in the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And it says, chapter 11 of Mark, "And when they came near to Jerusalem, unto Bethage and unto Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples." What's he sending them forth for? "And he said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you have entered into the village, you shall find a colt tied there, whereon never a man has sat. Loose him and bring him to me." Jesus exercising the prophetic gift, a prophetic gift. "You will find a colt tied up, and no man has ever sat upon him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you do this? You say, The Lord has need of him." Do you know that the Lord has need of you today? Oh, yes. Not because he needs you, but he wants you. He wants you. And you can do things that nobody else can do by bringing people to Jesus. The Lord has need of you. But, you know, we just have to be like that colt. We have to be able to let Jesus ride on our back, to let Jesus bestow his gifts to us so that we can use it for the people. The Lord has need of you. "And if any man say unto you, Why do you do this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went and their way, and found the colt tied by the door without a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What are you do, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus hath commanded, The Lord has need of him. And so they let them go." Again, I want to say, the Lord has need of you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The Lord has need of you to bring his presence to people. How do we do that? By witnessing, by praying for people, by praying with people. The Lord has need of you. Just yesterday, I had someone come to me, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I had to do something for him, and I just did it in the name of Jesus, and I pray that what happens would be what Jesus wants, not what anybody else wants. The Lord had need of me to do that yesterday. Then there was an appointment that I had. The Lord had need of me. You might say, why? Because he chose that. He chose to have need of me. He has need of you today. Need of you today. Not because you're a donkey, but because you're a Christian. The Lord has need of you. "And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon the colt." Oh, Jesus, you can sit upon me anytime you want. You can let me be that colt, that I would give people the reality of your love, the reality of the cross, the reality of your burial and resurrection. Oh, Jesus, I give you permission to ride on me. "And many spread out their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strewn them on the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. How did he get there? Let me just tell you how he got there geographically. From the Mount of Olives, which is high, very high, he rode that colt down the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley into the Golden Gate and into the place called Jerusalem, into the place called the temple area. And people were singing about him, and people were putting down their clothes so that the beast would not walk on the ground. I said man is fickle. 5 days later, some of these same people are calling, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about these things, now it was eventide, it was evening, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Maybe he went to the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He had them as friends in Bethany. And on the morrow, on the next day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. See, Jesus is like us in all ways but sin. And he saw a fig tree far off having leaves. He came, if haply he might find anything upon it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs had not yet come. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man shall eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. I'm going to ask Jesus this question. Why did you do that? Because it wasn't the time for figs. Now, I think it has a symbolic meaning to the house of Israel, because the fig tree represents the house of Israel. I tell you, my friends, that Jesus did everything with a reason. Everything with a reason. He did not do things just to do things. Now, he went from the Mount of Olives down to the Kidron Valley, through the Golden Gate into the temple. Now let me tell you this, how important this is. Today, the Golden Gate is blocked because they know that Messiah is going to go through the Golden Gate. And what have the Muslims done? They have planted dead people on the left and right of the Golden Gate because a priest, Jesus, will not go where the dead are. Now let me just tell you one thing. They don't realize that the dead shall be raised first. Hallelujah. There won't be any dead people there. There won't be any dead people there. They will be raised first, and then we shall follow by the grace of God. And on the morrow, when they were come to Bethany, he was hungry. I just read that. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that bought and sold in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I tell you, this is the final straw that breaks the camel's back, that Jesus does this. This is the experience that's going to lead him to the cross for what he did. What did he do? He saw that his house, the house of the Father, was not a house of prayer, but a den of thieves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying, Is it not written that my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made him a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy Jesus, see? For they feared him because of the people. They were astonished at his doctrine, at his preaching. And when even was come, he went out of the city. When it was evening, he went out of the city. Maybe again back to Bethany, because it's not far. Maybe again to the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God, for truly I say unto you, that whoever shall say to this mountain, Be removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. I tell you, when I pray with people, I speak the word of God by the grace of God. I remember saying to this woman, God has given you new lungs. She writes me years later stating that, coming to one of our services, that she had got new lungs and she was free of cancer. Oh yes, believe what you're praying. Believe what you're praying. I prayed with someone yesterday and I asked the Lord that he would have his way and nobody else would have his way. This is so important. Believe what you're praying. And don't doubt. Don't doubt in your heart when you ask for something. Don't doubt. I remember these ladies came here to Holy Rosary several years ago, and they doubted this experience of healing. It was very funny because the ones who doubted it most got healed. It was very funny. God has a sense of humor. And you know, thank God it's not up to me to heal the people. I just believe that God wants to do this. And you know what? He does it so often. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe, and you shall receive them, and it shall come to pass. And when you stand praying, forgive. Oh yes, here we go again. This whole thing of forgiveness. If you have aught against any person, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, yes. Thy will be done, yes. On earth as it is in heaven, yes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh yes, so important. And you know what? You don't have to feel forgiveness. It's an act of the will. 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 And Jesus' authority is questioned. This is verse 27 of Mark 11. And they came again to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And they said unto Jesus, By what authority do you do these things? Oh, yes. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. And who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you a question. And if you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from God, from heaven, or from men? Answer the question. Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? Because John made the way for Jesus. He must increase, Jesus, and I must decrease. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So if you don't believe John, if you say John's baptism is from heaven, then you have to believe what John said about Jesus. From heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if you say from men, they who feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell you. They would not answer because they were chicken. They had minds that wanted to catch Jesus, and no one's going to catch Jesus. He's the Lord. And Jesus answered and said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. We know by what authority Jesus does these things, by the authority of the Father. We know that now Jesus' authority on earth is through the Holy Spirit. We know. That's why when people come up to me and say, you know, you baptized me in the Holy Spirit, I said, no, Jesus baptized you with the Holy Spirit. I prayed with you. I prayed with you. People will say, thank you, Father Tom, for healing me. No, it's not Father Tom. It's Jesus. But God does it through Father Tom or through anyone else who has faith. Not only me. Anyone else who has faith. Believe and you shall receive. Forgive before you make your request. This is so important. Forgive before you make your request. Jack tells us the story of his mother, and she has a near-death experience, and she sees Jesus on not a boat, but on a barge, and she's in heaven, and Jesus said, you can't come here because you have to forgive someone. And so she said, don't send me back. I'm in so much pain on the earth. And the Lord says, you've got to forgive somebody before you come here. And she knew exactly who she had to forgive. And it took her time to forgive, but she forgave. And after she forgave, she was ready for heaven. It's important to forgive. It's important to forgive. Jesus tells us how important it is. If we do not forgive others, I'm going to tell you, he will not forgive us. It's as simple as that. And it's an act of the will. It's not an act of the feelings, because you still can feel this stuff, and you don't want to feel this stuff, but it's by will that I forgive people. I, by will. Let me just tell you something about a bully. I remember when I was in junior high school, and there was this young man, and he was a bully. He used to bully me. And one night I thought, I have to confront this man, young man. He was a kid. And I said, I have to confront this kid. And the next day when I saw him, I looked right into his eyes and I said, why are you bullying me? What have I ever done to you? It scared the heart out of him. He never bothered me again. He never bothered me again. I looked right into his eyes. And I said, why are you bothering me? I never did anything to you. He never bothered me again. I don't know why I'm saying that, because it doesn't go with the scriptures. But maybe somebody needs to hear that. If you are being bullied, go in front of the bully and look into their eyes and say, why are you hurting me? I never did anything wrong to you. Very important. Chapter 12 of Mark's Gospel. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, and he let it out to a husbandman, and went into a far country. These would be like tenant farmers. And at the season for what? For grapes. He sent two of the tenant farmers he sent to the tenant farmer a servant that he might receive from the tenant farmer the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. Sounds like what they're doing to Jesus. And again, he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully. Sounds like Jesus. And again, he sent another, and they killed the others, beating some, killing some. Having yet, therefore, one son, his well-beloved son, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those tenant farmers said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him. And they took him out of the vineyard and killed him. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenant farmer and will give the vineyard unto others. And who are the others? The Gentiles. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the Jews, has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold of Jesus, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken this parable against them. And they left him, and they went their way. Again, their chickens. Jesus just says what he feels and what he knows to be true, that the husbandmen beat the prophets, beat the son, killed the son, and threw him out of the vineyard. I'm telling you, the son rose from the dead. The question of tribute to Caesar, this is interesting. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and certain of the Herodians, to catch him in his words. Again, they're always trying to catch Jesus. And when they came, they said unto him, Master, we know that you are true, and you care for no man. That means you don't care for human respect. For you regard not the person of men, but you teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why do you tempt me? Bring me a penny, and that I may see it. And they brought it to Jesus. And he said unto them, Whose image is on this penny? They said, Caesar. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Now, how do we render to God the things that are God? We give him our life. We give him our tithe. We give him our offerings. We render to God the things that are God's. What does God belong? He belongs to everything. He has given us everything. If we have health, we want to use the health for Jesus. If we have money, we want to use the money for Jesus. Very important. This is very important, that to things of God, render to him the things of God, and that's everything. That's your children. When are you going to give up your children? When are you going to give them to Jesus? When are you going to give them to Jesus? Because they're into drugs and alcohol, and they kill you. They're killing you. When are you going to let them go and give them to Jesus? My question is that very important, because if you don't give them to Jesus, they're going to drive you crazy. That doesn't mean you stop loving them. It means you cannot change them. Only God can change them. Only God can change them. Only God can change them. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to speak to Catholics right now, we who have the fullness of faith. I want to say we must not be like the Jewish people. We must not take it for granted. We must be grateful, and we must be servants to people, Catholic and non-Catholic. We are called to serve people, not to lord it over anyone. What God has given us, he has given us to serve people. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.